Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, I've always thought that I was a little bit quirky, and I am. I know it. I've always known it. But I embraced it. I figured, what the hell? There's only one me. I might as well be it. Today, we're going to talk about being quirky and how you can take that and make it to your advantage. Our first guest is all the way across the pond in the UK. Her name is Nadia Finer. Hi, Nadia.
Hey there. Hello.
She's got, you have the voice of a little fairy princess, I've got to tell you, just so you know.
Oh, I know. I think it's what makes me special.
It's true. So Nadia Finer is one of the UK's foremost business coaches with 10 years experience supporting women entrepreneurs in her own unique style. As a coach and a renowned speaker and a podcaster, she has helped thousands of women around the world to start and grow their businesses. Now today, she's got a new book. How old is this book, by the way? Is it new? Has it been out?
It's new. Okay. It came out in September.
Perfect. So the new book is Little Me, Big Business. And so I think this is like a perfect subject for this show. Entrepreneurs, I think most of us know we are just a little bit different than the rest of the world. And I knew it all my life. I remember as junior high school, I thought, I'm not the same as all the rest of the people. Now, I didn't know what it was. As I got older and older, I started to embrace it. And, you know, right around high school time, I remember thinking it again. You know, I'm just not the same. I didn't know what made me different. You know, okay, I had like six fingers on one hand and five on the other. No, I didn't. But you know what I'm saying? There was always something different about me. But I mean, and there's something different about you. And I wonder what was it and when was it that you started to embrace your differentness?
Okay, well, I mean, I first realized there was something a bit different about me when I was about 15, when I was in a language laboratory, we used to call it. It was where we learned French at school, and we had headphones on, and we had to talk about stuff, and we'd record ourselves. And this was like new technology in those days. We had tape machines, and I recorded myself speaking about a film, like with a really strong English accent.
Right.
like terrible French accent. And then I hit play and I listened back to this voice. I got really confused because I heard a voice speaking and saying what I had just said, but not in my voice. So it took me a while to realize that the little voice I heard, essentially that sounded like a tiny kid speaking, was me. And when I realized it was me, I kind of freaked out and thought, oh my goodness, you know, I'm a weirdo. Nobody's gonna ever take me seriously ever again. And it's funny, but at the time I sort of shrank in on myself, and I decided that I would hide, essentially, from speaking in public. I would not go on a stage or be recorded, or, you know, I was afraid of phoning people that I didn't know because I thought they would laugh at me. And all through my kind of adolescence and then adult life, it affected me because people, you know, comment on my voice, or they, when they ring my house, they ask to speak to my mum.
Right.
And like, I am the mum in our house. I'm like 40 years old. My son's 10. My son sounds a lot older than me. Oh. It's really weird. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, it made things difficult because how can you be visible? How can you put yourself out there and be a confident leader, the face of your business, if you're afraid of people judging you or laughing at you? You're hiding. So for a long time, it really held me back. And eventually, I had like a bit of a run-in with a business partner who, she called me on it. You know, she said, you're playing small. She accused me of all kinds of things, like holding the business back, and my kind of confidence issues were stopping the business from growing.
Wow.
And we had Well, she said some mean stuff as well, which, you know. And we fell out. And that was the moment when the little person, the little voice in me turned, and I uncovered this huge source of rage within me that kind of exploded. And I thought, what am I doing? You know, what am I playing at here? I'm not, you know, going to go through life being right. a tiny version of myself.
All right, hold tight. I got to tell everybody, she is now preparing for her second fight. Oh, yes. She's a fighter on top of everything else. Little Me, Big Business, How to Grow Your Small Business, Increase Your Profits, and Go Global in Your Pajamas. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to overcome self-doubt and embrace your unique quirk like Nadia Finer. We're going to be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. How fun is this? We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Wow! I feel good. I do. I feel good. I mean, think about it. That's James Brown. I mean, you don't think he had a unique quirk? He did. And he made good on it. We're talking to Nadia Finer. Her book, Little Me, Big Business, How to Grow Your Small Business, Increase Your Profits, and Go Global in Your Pajamas. Now, she had to overcome this, as we all have to overcome our little things. It's funny. It can be your absolutely gorgeous voice, which sounds like the cutest little cartoon character, a little, you know, three-year-old child. You should be a voice talent. I'm sure you probably have been told that a lot of times, because that voice, people try hard to have that voice, just so you know. But
I know.
I have a little bit of a crooked lip, a lot of a crooked lip, just so you know. One side doesn't move, the other side. And it's all my life has bothered me. So I try my best to not let people notice that my lip is a little bit crooked, my bottom lip. And then so my daughter one day, I have this beautiful daughter. She's my daughter. I think she's beautiful, but she is beautiful. She says, no, this is my good side. I go, what do you mean your good side? You're so beautiful. She says, no, one nostril's bigger than the other. I'm like, isn't that funny? We all look at ourselves. We are our own worst critics. We think we have all these flaws and that everybody looks right at them. You got one pimple on your whole body. You're like, oh my God, they're looking. Oh no, look at my pimple. You know? So, I mean, here, when you have this voice or whatever it may be for those listening out there, you decided, you finally hit that point where the little you turned into a big you. It's like the Grinch that stole Christmas with Jim Carrey, where when he saw the little kid on the sleigh about to go over the mountain and his heart grew 10 times bigger. That happened to you when finally somebody called you out on it. And then you went, you know what, to hell with this little doubt voice. So how do you overcome self-doubt and embrace your little quirk?
Well, I think the first thing is that you have to go all in. So for me, I decided that I would not just stop hiding, but I would openly acknowledge my little voice, which means that when I give a talk, the fact that I'm giving a talk or even being interviewed, that's a good step. But I talk about it, I'm open about it. So I even created a brand. So my podcast and my brand is called Little Voice Big Business. So I don't just touch on it. I kind of give it a massive hug and I embrace it. And
Now, I will tell you, I love this. And I'll tell you what a friend of mine wrote a book about this. It's called Illuminate. And you illuminate it. You actually shine a spotlight on it. And you've made it part of your, you know, your slogan, in essence, your Little Me, Big Business. And I think it's beautiful, and more people need to recognize that, no matter how obscure that little quirk may be. And if it's something that is, you know, in your thought bubble all the time, which with you, I'm sure it was, because like you said, when you were like 15, with me, I think it started about 13, you know, thinking I'm different. And that day that you say I'm different, and guess what? Yes, we are all freaking different, just so you know. So we think we're the only ones that think we're different. But the reality is, if you could be inside the head of every person walking down the street, you'd hear this, I'm different. I'm not like them. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. I can't do what she can do. But what can you do? illuminate so, that thing, right?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Amplify it. Make it, right. Bring it front and center. Stop hiding away from it. The world is a much more interesting place if instead of everyone trying to be the same, instead of us creating these brands that emulate others, where we're kind of a rubbish version of somebody else,
right.
Whereas we can be the best version of ourselves if only we have the guts to actually go there. And I think often we feel, you know, I think it starts in school where everyone's brought to the middle. We all have to be the same, think the same way and do things in an accepted fashion. And yeah. Actually, when you're an entrepreneur, we've got this incredible freedom to be ourselves.
That's right.
And I think it's amazing. Right. And yet we need to do it.
That's right. Well, you know what? And listen, like you said, you're 40. I'm 58. It took me a long time. And I mean, you look at the young people that find it when they're in their 20s and they become superhuman, supernatural marketing and business people. And just embracing yourself is such a big, important part of life and business. Nadia Finer is going to be right back and give us more advice. Little me, big business. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Do you want to find out more about Nadia Finer? Check her out at NadiaFiner, nadiafiner.com. You can buy her book, Little Me, Big Business, How to Grow Your Small Business, Increase Your Profits, and Go Global in Your Pajamas. And, so we talked a little bit about how to overcome self-doubt and embrace your unique quirk, and we decided that, yes, two of us, so completely unanimous, that you embrace yourself 100%, go 100% all in on who you are, no matter how, we'll call it, bad word, but we're going to call it how weird you are, no matter, because you think you're weird, otherwise you wouldn't be trying to hide it, right? So no matter how weird you are, you just embrace it, illuminate it. Personally, I think your voice is completely adorable. I happen to be friends with many voice talents. I don't know if you've ever seen Pinky in the Brain. I have a friend who works with Mark Hamill, who, oh, by the way, was in Star Wars. And Mark Hamill happens to be a huge voice talent. He's done over 700 cartoon characters, and he always plays the bad guy because he likes to talk with his strange voice like this, you know? And so Mark Hamill is such a funny guy. And then he introduced me to all these great, fun people in the voiceover talent world. Huge money, by the way, Nadia, in the voice talent world.
I know.
You wouldn't even, you just talk and you like get earned, you know, anyway.
I know. And honestly, I think every week someone tells me I should be a voiceover.
Well, what are you waiting for?
And every week someone tells me someone asked to speak to my mom. So it's a pattern. Well, but you know, the thing is, like, the thing that you hide, the thing that makes you feel slightly uncomfortable, your insecurity, is usually the source of your superpower, because that's the thing that makes you stand out from everybody else. And right. So when I was hiding it, I just felt like I was no different to any other business coach. But now that I'm me and I'm able to embrace my voice and talk openly without pretending to be anybody, you know, everyone remembers me, and I don't even have to compare myself to anybody ever. Attract my people because they understand what it's like to feel little, and they get me. So I think it's such a powerful thing. And it's so funny because through my career and my life, people have always said to me things like, oh, you know, one boss said to me, you need to have home Nadia and work Nadia, and they're separate.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I'm fairly sure that's wrong, but, you know,
funny.
I know. And actually, like, if you bring them together and, you know, home you and work you becomes the same, and you then shine a light on the thing that makes you special and amazing, then
I see that you have literally spoken all around the world, and even Google Campus, City University in London, and I mean, on and on and on, all over the place. So you have really embraced this, and, you know, silly little thing, because you know, I think people are very quick to just judge on the quirkiness of your voice, and they don't really get to know you. I sat next to a man in the airplane one time that had these like giant growths all over his face and his arms and his hands. And actually, at first, I remember seeing him in the airport. This is very sad, and it tells the state of humanity when it's even me. I never thought it would be me, but I thought, oh God, I'm gonna have to sit next to that guy. And, you know, it's like, it was really a horrible looking disease, whatever it was. And what do you think? I see him coming down the aisle and I'm like, oh my God, the elephant man's coming. Oh no. And you know what? Not only did he sit, you know, like right next to me, but it was three big guys and he had the middle seat. So we were like rubbing shoulders. And, you know, the first thing I said to him, I go, all right. So first of all, what's the story with your skin here? And I kind of rubbed my hand because he had these, like, honest to God, it was like he had grapes hanging all over his hands. They were skin lesions or whatever, but nothing oozing or anything, but just under the skin. And it was like so horrifying. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to ask the guy. What harm could be from asking him without having any judgment? And he says, oh, I have a disease called whatever it was. And I said, wow. I said, isn't it interesting? God must have such a plan for you. And he looks at me and he says, thank you for saying that. And I said, so what do you do? And he says, I'm a science writer. And then we talked I think the flight was 4 hours. Nadia, we talked for 4 hours. We exchanged business cards. I've written him a couple of times. He was a brilliant man. But you know what? Nobody would be able to look past his, whatever you want to call it. I was going to call it handicap, but I don't call it a handicap. Your voice, not a handicap. Look what you've done with your voice, this little quirk, right?
I think so. Yeah, and have to just go there, really, and not try and hide it, I think.
I agree. And so funny, I shook his hand, and you know, I said, so is it contagious or anything? He was willing to tell me everything about it, and it was so sweet. He's became such a nice guy, toward the whole, just the inquisition of all the, you know, questions I had. And so at the end, you know, we shook hands and we said goodbye. And then I'm out front waiting for my Uber or something to pick me up. And what do you think? He gets picked up in this fancy limousine, right? He goes, do you want a ride? I go, no, I'm good. But I thought to myself, this guy is freaking, he's a rocket scientist. He literally was like a rocket scientist. And here I am, you know, thinking, you know, it's like, I just thought, felt so ashamed of myself for even the initial thought of anything, of thinking anything other than, you know, just looking at him. But you know what? That's human nature. We cannot help ourselves. So hold on a sec. We got to do another segment. This is just too fun. We're talking too much fun. I want to just take a break here, have more time with Nadia Finer, because these are the subjects we really should be talking about. And I want to know what you're feeling too. All right. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I love Nadia Finer. I absolutely love this story. This is the kind of stuff that warms the cockles of my heart, as my dad would say, who is British. I'm half British, so I don't know what the cockles of my heart are, but they're feeling warm.
Anyway. You have funny expressions over here.
Yeah, I know.
Whenever I say things, people are like, "Oh, that's so adorable."
I tell you. It's too funny. All right, so let's do this. Let's talk about, now that we've kind of, I think the world needs to embrace themselves, no matter, even if you don't have a quirk, because you inside of your soul will think you do, but the rest of the world will look at you and go, you're perfectly fine, you know, or listen to you or whatever it may be. So I think this all works for anybody, is just embracing yourself. Nadia Finer is the author of the book, Little Me, Big Business, How to Grow Your Small Business, Increase Your Profits, and Go Global in Your Pajamas. Why do you say in your pajamas? You mean work from home?
Yeah. So my theory is that when you work from home for yourself, there's a lot of temptation to play really small. You know, you sell your time for money and then you reach a peak. You can't go any bigger because you haven't got any more time left. And I love the idea that we are now able to scale, but in a really kind of calm, stress-free way. So you're not requiring investors or employees or premises or anything like that. It's just you at home, but you can create a really big business still. And that's the thing that I want to help people to do, is to go bigger. You know, in the past, I think particularly women, we were, you know, oh, well done, you're running a tiny business from home, from your kitchen table. Aren't you clever?
Right, right.
You know, like really patronizing. And actually now there's no reason why you can't have a global brand and clients all over the world and be big, but still keep things simple. And that's why I love the idea. I always wear my pajamas and, I'm wearing my pajamas now and you can't even see. But I love the idea that I'm like dressed from the waist up, you know, doing videos and being all sensible.
Right, right,
and
right.
And then like waist down, it's pajamas, slippers, the dog is under the desk.
That's
and
awesome.
You know, I'm working with clients who are like in Australia, in America, Canada, all over. And it's a little big business. And so, yeah, that's the pajama thing. That's
all right. Well, how do you avoid burnout when you're working at home and scale your business that works without getting burnout? Because I find that I work all the time. Now, I tell people, just before you get going here, don't try and keep up with me because I'm a 24/7 guy. While I am sleeping, I'm, you know, working on contracts in my mind. So I know I need help. I'm crazy. But I mean, some people do reach burnout. And every now and then, here's my deal. When I reach burnout, I know it and I shut it down. I go to Hawaii. I go driving for me is my zen place, by the way. I am a car guy, so I will go driving, and I could drive for 10-12 hours, drive across the whole country. It doesn't matter.
And
because my mind is almost like, my mind goes into this place where it is just resting, and I'm thinking it idle, if that's a good way of saying it. My mind is idling. But how do you do this to where you can scale your business without burning out?
See, I'm really different to you because I only work a few hours a day. So my day is, I know, right? You're going to hate me. But, I do the school run. I walk the dog. Then I'll have a couple of clients. And then I'll go to the gym to do my boxing training. And, you know, I'll do a bit more work. And then I pick my son up from school. So I reckon I do like 4 hours work in a day, sometimes less. And, you know, I've embraced these kind of clever principles that I talk about in my book and that I help my clients use as well. It's all about working smarter. So one of the things I do is, firstly, I price myself so that I'm actually charging my worth and therefore I don't have to work all the time.
So don't undervalue your time. And I tell people that all the time. You know, a buddy of mine, he's been doing all these things for free. And I'm like, dude, you're setting the price for you free.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the pricing. What we tend to do, I find, is firstly, we're selling the stuff. So you might say you were selling a book. It's like you're selling the number of pages and the number of words on each page. You're not selling the result of reading the book. So when you're pricing, always think about the outcome of what you're selling and how much that's worth to someone, as opposed to selling the number of widgets, you know?
Right.
The other thing I find is that we price ourselves according to how we feel about ourselves. And pricing is a business decision. It's not a reflection of your self-belief.
Right. You know? Now, hold on. Let's stop right there because that's so important. You are pricing yourself based upon your own self-worth. And you know what? I made that mistake for 20 years before I finally stopped it, you know, because I didn't place a huge value on myself and I didn't place hardly any value. And some people don't place any value on their self-worth. That's a big mistake. Maybe Nadia can help you. Keep going.
Yeah, so pricing's not about you. It's about what you're delivering for your client and what that's worth to them. So once you fix your pricing, then you want to look at your packaging and how you package up what you deliver. So you're not wasting time constantly trying to win new business.
Right.
People stick around for longer. And because you're selling the result, you've moved away from selling your time. Mm. So once you're selling a package and a results-based package rather than your time, you're like, man, now I can go to the gym because I'm not like trying to sell 4 hours of work a day. Instead, you're able to say work with lots of people at the same time over a long period. They pay you monthly. So, you know, all these kind of little tactics that you can use will help you to make more money and to scale up. So that's the kind of stuff I've done in my business and the stuff I teach in my book as well. But I love the idea that, you know, we can have, I don't want to hustle all the time. I don't want stress in my life. I want to enjoy what I do. And so I design my business and the businesses of my clients so that they can focus on the thing they're really, really good at. You know, I'm terrible at a lot of things. And so I get people to come in and help me with those things. And I know that when I sit down each day, the thing I need to be doing is the thing that only I can do, the thing that requires my presence. Like, there's a lot of other stuff that someone else is much better off doing. And once we stop trying to control everything and do everything ourselves, we're able to grow much quicker because we're delivering the stuff we really shine at, and other people can get things done much more quickly and better.
Yeah.
So my book has got funny stories in it and, you know, jokes and stuff because right. I think, like you, business shouldn't be super boring. But it's also got, like, sensible stuff. And I think, you know, there's these sensible, simple strategies. Often, like, business gurus make stuff sound so complicated.
Right.
And it's just not necessary.
All right, hold tight. So results-based package is what she sells. Instead of just never knowing when you feel like you have delivered, you need to know that. Set yourself up to win, not to fail. You need to know once you've delivered your results, then you can put your hand out and say, I've delivered now. Here, let's go to the next level and deliver more. We're going to take a little break, come back with more of Nadia Finer, all the way from UK. Her book, Little Me, Big Business. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know what? She's a bad girl. Her name is Nadia Finer, one of the UK's foremost business coaches with 10 years experience supporting women entrepreneurs in her own unique way and style. She says, embrace your quirkiness. Illuminate, amplify your quirkiness. She's done it. She has an absolutely adorable voice, and but more importantly, brilliant. And the fact that she doubted herself and became small in the eyes of the world, and somebody called her out and said, you're holding us back, and you this and you that, and she said, you know what, to hell with that. And she now wrote the book, Little Me, Big Business. And she's helping people all over the world, and she has talked all over the world, and she has a podcast, which goes all over the world. What is your podcast, by the way?
My podcast is called Little Voice, Big Business.
That's awesome.
I know. And you know what? I have to tell you something so funny. So you just played that song, Bad Girl. Well, when I'm boxing, my ring name is Bad Nad.
Oh, that's funny. Bad Nad. By the way, that was ZZ Top. I did a show with him for a year. The nicest man in the world. He literally is such a gentleman. And it's so neat to meet people that, you know, in the world, he's a rock star, right? But in real life, if you know this man, you know him and you love him because he's such a gentleman. He's just an amazing human being. And I love that about this life that we have. We get a chance to meet people and to formulate, you know, quick judgments about what you think they are And then when you, if you're not judgmental and you're open-minded, you go, wow, I really misjudged that. You don't judge a book by its cover. Neither do you judge a person by the looks or the voice or the one nostril bigger than the other, whatever it might be, you know? So I'm glad we're talking about these things because so many of us entrepreneurs and people in general, we are, you know, we're doubters. We have self-doubt. And so,
yeah, we do. You know, and then it stops us from achieving stuff because, you know, the number of people I meet who would say, oh, I can't possibly make a video. I don't look right. Like I should be on video.
Right.
Or, you know, for me, my voice was weird, or they won't be in photos, or they think they can't write, for example. And the way I look at it is your people need you and they're waiting for you to help them. And you have a particular skill or something that you are best placed to deliver for your people. And when you don't give that talk or make that video or write that piece, you don't help them. You're holding back from helping them and you're kind of depriving them of getting that support. And then once I realise that, it takes the pressure off because it's not about me anymore. It's about them and the fact that I know that people will be, you know, hopefully supported and inspired by what I have to say. And if right. I hid away at home, then it's just a shame, you know?
I'm looking online. I wanted to, you know, see more pictures of you. And I Googled your name and then I went to photo.
Oh, God. What's going to come up?
You know what? You're a very beautiful woman. But I love all these things that you do. Like, here's another one. It says how to write non-spammy marketing materials.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought that I hate getting spam stuff. I always tell people, you know what? You better write something that is real and not, you know, look like spam. Otherwise, click, it gets deleted before it ever gets read.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. So, and yet, you know what? People, what drives me crazy, and I think that the opposite of embracing who you really are, is that we're all being drawn into these kind of cheat sheets and formulae and blueprints. People sell scripts for stuff so that you can sound like them and you can use exactly their words. And then you start getting emails and you think, I'm sure I've read this before because other people, you know, they're just buying the same words and using them again. Whereas I feel like, and I was trying to explain this to my son today, that everything is a story. All the things that you experience and the things that you feel and the things you feel compelled to say, you can turn it into a story. And those stories are what people engage with and they enjoy reading. So the minute something kind of a bit weird or crazy happens to you in your life, I feel like that's just an opportunity to talk to your people and to share that with them rather than using these kind of boring kind of blueprints that everybody uses.
I agree. All right. One more segment. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you can teach these entrepreneurs over here in the USA. Of course, we have audience all around the world, but these principles are global, they're universal, and today Nadia Finer, Little Me, Big Business is going to help with three or four helpful hints for you that have that same doubt. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And today we have the adorable four-year-old Nadia Finer. Did I get that right? Oh, wait a minute. No, it was 40. That's what it was. Oh. I know. You've probably heard that a million times. You do have an adorable voice, by the way. Author of Little Me, Big Business. Now it is time for you to become Professor Nadia Finer and teach the class today. Where do we start? Three or four pieces of advice for entrepreneurs that have, you know, their little quirkiness about them. Go for it.
The first thing I would advise you to do is to buy my book.
Of course!
Awesome. Life-changing.
Right.
Some people said it's life-changing.
Perfect.
No, after you've bought my book, read it, take notes, And then I would suggest that you lean into the thing that makes you unique. You tell your story and talk about why you're doing what you're doing, because when you are you, you will attract your people. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, you're not attracting everybody. You don't want everyone. You just want your kind of people, and they're going to get you, and they're going to want to hang out with you, and you get to choose who they are. You know, they're not your family. You can, you're not stuck with them forever. You can be a little discerning. So you tell your story, you be yourself, you work with people who you love to be around, people that bring you joy, who are fun to hang out with, who you would want to go down the pub with and have a pint of beer with, not people who bring you down and try and haggle with you on price, because that is no fun and not a good way to run a business.
Yep.
The other thing that I recommend that you do is grow a pair of big balls, because I think that running a business is really hard work, right? It's tough. There are highs and there are lows, and things don't always go according to plan, you know, and I'm not the most biggest, baddest, bravest person around. But I do think it's really important that we have that feistiness within us, that we're able to ride out the difficult stuff when things don't go according to plan, and we don't just cry about it and give up. I see a lot of people who they're too easily swayed from their mission. You know, you have something that you're trying to deliver, some kind of change that you want to create in the world. And when things don't immediately fall into place, if you give up, you'll never get there. So I think it's really important that we do kind of uncover that sort of fiery, you know, for me, it's bad nad, the boxing bad nad within me that enables me to overcome difficult situations and never give up.
Love it. Now, here's my one question that is, to me, I think will tell a lot about you. And here it is. What did you learn from your first boxing match when it was like, you know, you had to be all in because you can get hurt boxing, right? What did you learn from that?
Oh my goodness. It was so brutal. I wasn't expecting it. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, we're just going to tap each other a bit and it'll be fine. But this huge woman came at me and I just thought, oh my goodness, I'm actually going to die. I found that I'm actually quite very strong. I didn't melt under pressure, yeah, which I was impressed by. And I think, and this relates to business, I think, when punches come your way, you embrace the impact, you stay calm, and you wait for your opportunity to move forward. You don't kind of cry about it or go, ow, she hurt me, that hurt, I give up. You're just biding your time, and you wait until you see an opportunity to strike. And I think in business, it's kind of the same. You know, you go into your shell, things are not going according to plan, that's okay. And you just wait for the right moment and then you move forward.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. You came face to face with your own self at that moment when you thought, I'm going to die. I am not going to die. I'm going to survive. And so you did it. Well, you can find her book, Little Me, Big Business, Nadia Finer, on Amazon. Or you can go to her website, NadiaFiner.com, NadiaFiner, NadiaFiner.com. Nadia, you are adorable. I can't wait to meet you in person when I come to the UK or you come to America. You know, just let's keep this conversation going. Now I'm going to go listen to your podcast too. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Really appreciate it. We're all quirky, you guys. Let's just kind of embrace it. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. And as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive. I've got all my life to live, and I've got all my love to give, and I'll survive.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.